And all God's people said, amen.
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 If you love the Lord, say amen.
Amen.
First, in praises to Almighty God, who's at the head of our lives, to Jesus Christ, our Savior, Holy Spirit, our guide, comforter, help. Give an honor to the moderator of this great Northampton County Association and vicinity and churches, Dr. Dickens, to the moderator at large, Reverend Dr. Franklin D. Williams, to, amen, the instructor for these candidates, amen, Bishop Wayne Welch, amen, to all of this great staff and pastors and preachers of this great association, amen, to the pastor and angel of this church,
hallelujah,
Pastor Horsley, and to all the first ladies that are here today, to my family, friends, and all of you here tonight, it's good to be home. I have learned as I have matriculated, amen, I don't speak. If you just allow me to go back to my home vernacular. It's good to be home in Gettysburg. I know the correct way to pronounce that is Gettysburg. Amen. If I have a shout out to the class of 1980, Gumbury High School, amen. All of them were pronounced it the same way. It's good to be back home in Gettysburg.
Amen.
Can I just ask my family to stand tonight? Just ask you to stand wherever you are. I don't get a chance to sing, but it's good to be here tonight. Glad to see them here tonight. I don't want to miss anybody in honor tonight. When my sister shared with me, and Pastor Welch shared with me the training and mentorship that she was involved in and blessed to be engaged and to participate in, I tell you, I immediately made plans to be here. And I want to tell all of these candidates, and especially my sister, that, amen, the kingdom is proud of you.
Praise God.
And I know your mom and daddy, amen, who are resting peacefully out yonder on these sacred grounds. I know they're proud of you too.
Amen.
Made plans to be here, and then, can I just get myself together? I didn't plan on this. Thank you for the opportunity to share on this special occasion. And my mother and father always taught us when folk are kind to you,
yeah.
They ain't got to be kind.
Amen.
And when they are, amen, just ought to tell them thank you. And tonight, I want to tell you thank you. Yes. We have been meditating, and I'm hot, y'all. I don't mean no disrespect, but can I take my jacket off?
Yes, sir. Take it on off.
I'm just hot. Don't mean I'm going to preach no harder. I thank God for my family. They have suffered me these 3 or 4 days. Amen. I have been living on the basement, on the first floor, because that's where it's cool. Amen. They keep the house around 71, 72, 73. That's hot for me, y'all. I needed to be around 68, 69. Can I get a witness up in here somewhere? Amen. Amen. So they have been gracious and turning the heat off downstairs. And I know, amen, when they came downstairs this morning, it was probably cold enough to hang meat up in there, amen. I was comfortable, amen. And normally I would leave away, amen. I said, y'all do what you want to do, but no, I didn't want to do that to this time, amen. So thank them for their hospitality. I've been meditating, and we've been meditating on our assignment here tonight. And to what thus the Lord would have us to say to the waiting congregation, and especially to these fellow yokemen that and their newly ordained servants entrusted with this great responsibility, first of all, to work together and then work faithfully, independently in the ministry of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, Lord, what would you have us to say? And I saw on your program, and it was given to me in the letter, the thought for we are created for good works. Ephesians 2 and 10. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And God led me to tie into that prayerfully. You will see it here. But turn with me to the book of Daniel. If you would, please. To the book of Daniel. Chapter 6. Amen. Book of Daniel. Chapter 6, and just one verse here tonight, verse number 10. And you do as you have been accustomed to do. Amen. Amen. We're so happy to share with you. I know that my father would be right at company. He'd be right at home in this sharing, amen, this workspace with both men and women. Somebody don't say amen.
Amen.
Amen. We've been fighting too long, y'all, about the wrong stuff.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, let me stick to my script. Amen. Amen. But God ain't pleased. We got to get about kingdom business. Amen. And kingdom business gonna take everybody in the body of Christ. And we're too busy fighting with women in the ministry and what they're doing. Amen. We need to embrace what God is already doing.
Amen.
And I know, and I just take my hat off to this association. Amen. For recognizing and embracing, amen, the gifts and talent that God has placed in his people.
Amen.
Daniel, the 6th chapter, verse number 10. If you found it, say amen.
Amen.
If you're not, say hold on, preacher. The text says, and now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem. Text says, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before God as he did aforetime. You may be seated. Some of y'all didn't get excited about that text. Y'all didn't see it. And now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house. Touch your neighbor, say his house. And his windows being open in his chamber. Somebody say his chamber. Toward Jerusalem. Text says he kneeled upon his knees. Touch your neighbor, say his knees. 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Amen. Touch your neighbor. Say, neighbor.
Neighbor.
Preacher's going to preach about.
Amen.
If you're going to do all of this stuff, for we are created for good works, Ephesians 2 and 10,
uh-huh,
you're going to have to learn to make prayer a priority.
All right.
Touch your neighbor. Touch your other neighbor that's asleep. Amen. Touch that neighbor. Amen. Grab him. Amen. Hug on to him. Say, amen. Tonight, you got to learn to make prayer a priority. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Some things are just an idea or a concept or a thought until a shared experience make them a reality. In 2002, my wife and I were invited to go on a cruise, amen, to Nassau, Bahamas. I was to perform a wedding for some friends, amen, that we had met in the military. And I remember the talk from people going on that cruise. I remember them talking about the food that they were going to eat. I remember them talking about the fun. Somebody had already been on a cruise already. Talking about the fun that they were going to have on the ship and the shopping that they were planning to do. I really remember the talk about the color of the water. They talked about how brilliant the blues were, how clear and how pure the water looked. Now, my brothers and sisters, I'm no stranger to ocean water. I've been around water all my life. I've been on family fishing trips up down to Virginia Beach. Amen. I love eating seafood. Amen. I've come out of Iraq. I've been in the war. I've been above the water. I've been near the water. But I don't ever remember the brilliance of the blue that they were talking about on this cruise ship. I remember light gray. Can I get a witness up in here? I remember some green in some spots. I remember a blue hue, but I don't remember no brilliant blues. Well, we got up for breakfast, amen, the first morning that I was on the ship, and I remember looking over the bow, the ship into the water below, and at that moment, an idea, a thought, a concept, or what I was being told about the water became a reality. That water was brilliantly blue. That water was jewel blue. That water was a blue that escapes my understanding here today. That water made your mind. I said, what a mighty God we serve. Sometimes some things you just live with the idea, but when you experience them for yourself, yeah, those ideas become a realized reality. When it comes to the power of prayer, I wish I was talking to somebody here today. Many of us just live with the idea of what God can do. We talk about prayers of mama and daddy. We talk about the prayers of our grandparents. Amen. But if you want the power that was afforded to mama and daddy, amen. If you want the power that was afforded to granddaddy, to mama and dad, if you want the power to afford it to the saints of old, you got to learn how to make prayer a priority. Can I get one witness up in here tonight? Amen. That realized that, you know what? Everybody don't know your story. Can I get a one witness tonight that said that, you know, you don't know how the Lord has brought me, but somebody somewhere along the way, they prayed for me. Hey, somebody made a powerful prayer for me. I'm talking about power, y'all. Can I get a witness up in here tonight? Amen. I'm talking about power, ministry kind of power, Holy Ghost power, keeping power, saving power, healing power, delivering power. Just can I get one witness that know if it wasn't for somebody praying for me, if it wasn't.
Yeah.
I like the songwriter said, somebody prayed for me. Yeah, somebody took the time and prayed for me. Now that I have been changed, I know that there's power in prayer. Yeah, when you make prayer a priority, Lord have mercy, you can find the prayer that produces results. Touch your neighbor. Say, neighbor, in your lifetime. In your ministry,
in
your family,
on your job,
Lord have mercy, in your workplace, y'all know what,
in your church,
you got to make prayer a priority. Yeah. In this text tonight, Jerusalem, amen, the Israelites, amen, the kingdom is in transition. Yes, Jerusalem is under siege in chapter 1, and we find that Daniel is chosen, amen, taken in captivity by King Nebuchadnezzar, and along with his three friends, amen. Amen, in chapter 1, they are challenged. They are challenged in service before the king, and they are challenged, amen, to eat of the king's vestures. But Daniel and his servants, they choose something different. And we find out even in chapter 1, even in a strange land, under unfamiliar rule, godless rule, God rewards them for their faithfulness.
In chapter 2. Somebody said chapter 2. In chapter 2, amen, the king has a dream. And the only interpretation thereof is afforded to Daniel himself. And amen, touch your neighbor. At this time, said neighbor, the king set him up. Once Daniel interpreted the dream, the king made him the man in Babylon. He made him ruler, verse 48, chapter 2, say he made him ruler over the whole province. And Lord have mercy, as Daniel got promoted, he brought his three friends along with him. Can I get a witness here? Touch your neighbor, say your gift will make room for you. Amen. Hold on, you ain't got to pull nobody down. You ain't got to hold nobody up. Amen. The Lord will recognize your gift. Your gift will make room for you. Touch your neighbor, say chapter 3. Chapter 3, amen. You focus, the text focuses on these three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They got in trouble. You familiar with the story? For not obeying, amen, Babylon, amen, kingdom order. Amen. And verse 18 says that they, but three Hebrew boys says, we will not serve your gods, nor will we worship the golden image which thou hast set up. And the Bible says they were thrown in the fiery furnace. And y'all know what happened. Can I get a witness here? Amen. Touch your neighbor. Say, he may not come when you want him.
Come on now. Come on.
But he's an on-time God. Amen. Y'all probably don't sing that around here. No, when I was a little boy, you say, he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Touch your neighbor. Say, chapter 4. Chapter 4, Daniel again gets an opportunity to interpret the king's dream. Amen. And in chapter 5, Daniel makes known an unknown handwriting on the wall. And in chapter 6, amen, the Persian management, y'all not walking with me here. Amen. They say enough is enough. Can I get a witness from him? The Bible says they start plotting against Daniel. Verse number 4 of chapter 6 says they sought an occasion. Touch your neighbors and they sought an opportunity. Yeah, against Daniel. And that brings us, amen, to verse number 10. Verse number 10 says, and now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, the text says that we went into his house and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem. Text says that he kneeled upon his knees and he prayed three times a day, amen, and gave thanks before God as he did aforetime. Now, my brothers and sisters, the first thing, if you're going to make prayer a priority, the first thing you got to do is you got to plan to pray. I can't get no witness. Somebody ought to be writing that down right now. You got a plan to pray. Look at the D portion of that text. Look at the text says that Daniel did it as he did aforetime. Can I get a witness right here? I know, amen, that's King James. That's old writing, amen. That don't run off, amen. That don't get us excited, amen, because that old kingdom language. But the New English translation says that he had been accustomed to do previously. Can I get a witness right here? What that tells me is before the trouble started, Daniel was already praying. Y'all not walking with me here. Huh? That means before they began to have the plot against him, Daniel had already planned to pray. Somebody ain't catching me right there. You ain't catching me. The text says before their money ran out. The text said before the doctor saw their cancer coming on. Y'all don't hear me yet. The text said before they went down to pick out their automobile. The text said before mama and daddy died. The text said before, prior to, the Bible said Daniel was praying. I'm not talking about a detailed plan for doing or achieving something. I'm not talking about your intentions. Your decision about what you're getting ready to do. But I'm interested in the verb part of plan. The verb part of plan means to decide on and arrange in advance. Somebody ain't hear me right there. The verb part says the plan to pray means to decide on and arrange in advance. Let me tell y'all something. Y'all know what? Most of our prayers are often emotionally driven. We pray when something is painfully pending. We pray when we're jubilantly joyful. We pray when we got some complex circumstances, when we are lacking resources, or even when somebody asks us to. But here is the thing. You don't know when the enemy is going to strike. You don't know when your resources going to run out. That's why I got a plan to pray to a true and living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Because catch this right here. I want a God that can see it before I see it. That can understand it before I get confused. That can fix it before I know it's broke. That can work on it before I know it's a problem. And even in my blessings, can prepare me so I can handle his favor. Y'all not walking with me here. Look here. We got a plan for our job. Got a plan for your career. Plan for your life. You plan to marry. You got a plan for your family. You plan for birthday celebrations. School and education. You plan for breakfast, lunch, and I know I got a plan for dinner. Lord have me. You plan to pay bills. You plan for vacations. You plan to make plans. You have meetings just to make plans. And we wonder why we ain't got no power and we ain't got no plan to pray. If you want power, you got to plan to pray.
Help me.
Thank you. You know, when I was got ready to come out here, see, a plan keeps you in sync. Hallelujah. In sync, amen. That's modern day term. Young folk can understand that, amen. Plan keeps you in sync. See, in sync. A sync means to be connected. Paired up. In other words, in sync with the Savior. Lord have mercy. Let me tell you, before I came here today, my wife and I always buy the electronic equipment in my family. I keep my wife in the phone. But when I got ready to come on this trip, she said, baby. She come in the room and I got ready to leave. She said, here, take this. I said, what's this, girl? She says, that's a Bluetooth device. I said, I already got a Bluetooth device. She said, no, this is different. She said, yours cuts in and out. Sometimes you miss calls. Somebody see it already, amen? My wife, amen, she handed me this Bluetooth device, amen. She said, here, pair this with your phone. Because when you get out yonder in your hometown. Can I get a witness right here? She said, when you get out there, amen, and you doing, amen, and you and Tonsil, y'all doing what y'all doing, your family, y'all hanging out. She says, I want you to make sure that you pad this to your phone because I don't want you to ever miss a call from me. Can I get a witness right here? I got to move on. Somebody going to get it after a while. When you plan to pray, amen, you stay paired up with God. You stay in sync with God. You don't miss nothing with God. You don't miss no instruction. I wish I had a way in church. You don't miss no information. You don't miss no detours. You don't miss no blessing. You don't miss no answers. You don't miss that J-O-B. You don't miss that man you've been looking for. You don't miss that one. Y'all can't get no help right here. You don't miss that woman you've been praying for. You don't miss your shout. Somebody missed it right there. You don't miss your praise. Tell your neighbor, I serve a true and living God. If you want power in your prayer life, you got to, Lord, have mercy. Make prayer a priority. Yeah. Can't make it a priority if you don't plan to pray. What? Number two. I got to go. I got to go. I got to go. Yeah, I got to go. Look, I'm already. If you're going to make prayer a priority, you got to plan to pray. Yeah. Then you got to have a place to pray. Look at the text. It's in the text. The text says, and then when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, the text says he went into his house and his windows being open
in his chamber toward Jerusalem.
Touch your neighbor and say, you got to have a place to pray.
Not only did Daniel have the plan to pray, but Daniel had a place to pray.
Now look here, my brothers and sisters. I know and I'm sure when Daniel found out about what was plotted against him, Daniel immediately in his heart, amen, went to pray. But this text says that he didn't stop on the way. This text says Daniel went to a specific place. When he knew that the writing was signed, this text says he went into his house and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem. The text says now that's when Daniel not only had a plan to pray, but Daniel had a place to pray. Can I get a witness right here? Touch your neighbor and say, you got to have a place to pray. I'm talking about power. I remember back in 2015, y'all remember, grossed over $75 million. Amen. This movie starring Tony Evans' daughter. Amen. Evangelist Priscilla Shirey. Y'all remember this movie? She starred in this amazing movie. Amen. Where she played a girl that she was troubled in her marriage. She met a praying woman, and the woman introduced her not only to her plan to pray, but she revealed the place to pray. The location where the plan was executed. Y'all know with me here, right? They called it war room. My brothers and sisters, you better recognize that the Bible says in Ephesians 6 and 12, it says we fight not against flesh and blood. Amen. You ain't fighting your neighbor. You ain't fighting your flesh and blood, but you fight against principalities, against powers. Somebody said powers. Against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You want power? You got to make prayer a priority. You got to not only plan to pray, but you got to have a location by which you're praying in. I'm here to say that you don't have no power in your life because you ain't got no place to pray. Oh, God, help me here. Somebody. There's somebody second guessing me right now. But in my relationship with my wife, amen, everything is fine. We've been married over 34 years. Blessed be to God. And God is still blessing us. But something happens to her when I pull up, amen, down south in Dallas to Papa Do's. Amen. Y'all don't hear me here. Papa Do's is a seafood restaurant. Amen. She knows, amen, she loves seafood. But when I pull up, and I can tell her all day long that I love her, but when I show up at Papa Do's, can I get a witness here? That's a place. Amen. She knows something special is going on at that place. I ain't nothing wrong with praying behind the wheel of your car. Ain't nothing wrong with praying in line at Walmart. Ain't nothing wrong with praying on your job, sitting at your desk at school. Ain't nothing wrong with praying in the middle of a ball game. James 5 and 16 says, the effectual prayers of a righteous man avail of much. Prayer anytime, anywhere is all right. But I ain't just talking about, I'm talking about, Lord have mercy, war room kind of power. Lord have mercy, somebody ain't got it yet. I'm talking about lines then kind of power. I'm talking about fiery furnace kind of power. I'm talking about walking on, Lord help me here, water kind of power. I'm talking about, you all do know that Jesus said, greater things shall ye do in my name. I'm talking about feeding 5,000 kind of power. I'm talking about turning water into wine kind of power. I'm talking about cancer healing kind of power. Jesus said, Lord have mercy, my associates that came to him with the prayer, he said, they couldn't heal me. Jesus says, this kind of stuff only comes through prayer, fasting, and praying. And I'm talking about drug delivering kind of power, restoration kind of power, forgiving power, saving power. Touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, you got to have a place to pray.
Yeah. Let me move here. I've been Daniel had a plan to pray. Daniel had a place to pray. But Daniel had a position to pray. Look at the text. It's in the text. Daniel said, the text says, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, into his windows being open in that chamber towards Jerusalem. Text says that he kneeled upon his knees. Can I get a witness right here?
Now be careful here. Be careful here, my brothers and sisters, because I looked at this text and the Lord was working in my spirit. Yes, everybody can't get on their knees. Y'all not walking and say, I done killed some home. There's a sacred cow out there that I done killed already. Amen. Amen. Touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, my freezer going to be full of your sacred cow beef. Touch your neighbor and say, we butchering some cows here tonight. Butchering some sacred cow. Everybody, but pay attention here. Not everybody. The text says that Daniel kneeled upon his knees. And another version might say, amen, that Daniel fell on his face. Another version might say Daniel took on the position of prayer. Clearly, from the text, what got Daniel in trouble was some obvious physical evidence of him praying that could be observed by somebody else. What the Hebrew is trying to convey here is not just position. The Hebrew is trying to convey posture. Oh, I wish I had some help here. Yeah, the Daniel said he kneeled three. Daniel planned to pray. Daniel prayed, but Daniel, the text says, if I had to read, Daniel took on the usual position. Daniel took on the posture for praying. Posture is important, y'all. Why is this on record? Why is this on record? Why is it necessary? Why is it necessary for the writers to mention to us tonight that Daniel, amen, kneeled upon his knees? That's tradition, but the really writing that Daniel took on the posture to pray. Because when I put myself, I'm going home, y'all. Y'all ain't interested in. When I put myself, in my place to pray, executing my plan for prayer, when I put myself in the position that I put myself in must take on the form of surrender. Somebody done missed that, amen? Because you know what? Because we do what we want to do. When we pray, amen. But surrender is important because surrender says I hand over some stuff. All right. When you take on the correct posture, your posture, y'all ain't walking with me, because you might not have the same posture that I got. But when you in your relationship with God, when you take on your posture for prayer in your place, executing your plan, you hand over some stuff. Touch your neighbor and say, what am I handing over? I'm handing over my pride. I'm telling the Lord, I'm vulnerable. I'm submissive. I'm yielding. I'm receptive. I'm honoring. I'm appreciative. I'm available for your service. You know position. I have some folks in my military here. Y'all know in the military when they say take on the position of parade rest.
That's right.
Amen. If you at ease, your posture better change. Can I get a witness here?
Yeah.
Oh, Lord, I got some military folk up in here.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. You know on your job when the boss walks up. Amen. Depending on your duty. Amen. At least you got to at least acknowledge that your boss is there. You got to bring your work environment to a safe place where you can address that. Y'all not walking with me, huh? That's why you ain't got no job today. Amen. Because when your boss walked up, you didn't take and assume the correct posture. Can I get a witness right here? I ain't talking by myself at home. Amen. If you take on the wrong posture, you can get your feelings hurt. That's why James Brown wrote in the song, said, look at here, Papa, don't take no mess. Yeah, I don't know about in your household, amen, but when my mama and daddy was living, amen, you can roll your eyes and roll your neck and tonsil all you want to, amen, but you might find an extension cord or a shoe hurling around that corner like a boomerang because simply you have taken on the wrong position in the wrong posture.
Yeah.
Somebody up in here now, you better not get caught sucking your teeth. Lord, have mercy, putting your hands on your hip, turning your neck. Can I get a witness right here? Waving folk off with your hands, staring folk down. Amen. That's the wrong posture in the wrong position.
Yeah. You got to make prayer a priority. And if you got it, number one, you got to have a plan to pray. Then you got to have a place to pray. And then you got to have the right position. You got to take on the right posture. Lord, how much? Let me tell this story. I got to go, y'all. I've been already too long. I remember a story, and this is a real story. So you know, out in Oklahoma, amen, they love two things. Lord, how much? God and football. Can I get a witness right here? I know y'all don't understand that out there, amen. But if y'all were to come to Ardmore High School and look at Ardmore High School football stadium, amen, some NFL stadiums would be in awe. Can I get a witness right here? I remember Gunbury High School, amen, where the numbers didn't even go on the field right. Can I get a witness here? Can I get somebody here? Amen. Amen. It had a hump in the middle of the field. Amen. Sometimes you couldn't even see short persons on the other side. Can I get a witness right here? I know why the hump was there, because they didn't want to put in a drainage system. So the water would just run off from the center. Y'all not walking with me here. I had another story. I'm talking about the right posture. Another story, amen. This young man, amen, got a scholarship to pray at OU. And blessed be to God, when he got a scholarship to pray at OU, he noticed he came, grew up in his grandmother's house. And his grandmother, amen, she was a praying woman, amen. She was wheelchair bound. And blessed be to God. And he would notice her over in the corner in her bedroom, amen, standing there sitting there in her wheelchair with her hands lifted up high like this. And she was praising and praying and praying to God. When he got, amen, on the football scholarship to OU, Lord have mercy, blessed be to God. The first year he was there, the coach wanted him to play. Stoops wanted him to play, but Lord have mercy, he was scared. But he went out and played anyway, played a position of left guard. And a couple of folk got by him. And then on the third play, he looked up in the stands. Things got quiet. They said, there's a commotion in the stands. Y'all know what was happening in the stands? His grandmama. Somebody had brought her to the game. And there was a crowd that had gathered around his grandmama. And he told the boy, he said, somebody is praying in the stands. And when the young man looked up in the stands, y'all not walking with me here, he saw his grandmother. She wasn't on her knees. She wasn't standing. But she was in her position. In her posture. Lifting up the name of Jesus, and he drew strength from Harper's posture so he could play his position. Touch your neighbor's a neighbor. You got to get in the right position. Look, lastly, let me go. I pray that God has blessed you. But the fourth thing is, you not just got a plan to pray, have a place to pray, have a position to pray in. That communicates posture, surrender. You got to practice your prayer. All right. Look at the text. The text says that he kneeled down upon his knees three times a day. My brothers and sisters, touch your neighbor and said, that's practice.
That's practice.
To practice means to earnestly engage or to exercise your privilege to communicate directly with God through Jesus Christ. Not just saying the words. I got to go home, y'all. But honestly, sincere, heartfelt expressions of love, appreciation, adoration, gratitude, and praise and thankfulness. Communicated to God through Jesus Christ. What does practice look like? Can I get a witness right here? Text says that Daniel prayed three times a day. What that communicate to me is that, amen, practice is not just regular. Practice is not religious. But practice is regular. Not being obligated, but being compelled to pray. Not just for show, but really from the heart. Not for, but really because. My brothers and sisters, if you're ever going to have power in your prayer life, you got to have a plan to pray. You got to have a place to pray. You got to have, Lord have mercy, a position to pray in. And then you got to have, you got to practice your prayer life. My brothers and my sisters, I come to tell you tonight that prayer changes things. Prayer will open doors for you that man has already closed. And if you don't hear nothing this young preacher say here tonight, you that are being ordained, you got to wrap up this training that has been duly invested in your life. And you got to make prayer a priority. Can I tell you just one more story?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
About 10 years ago, I began to execute these principles. I developed a plan for praying. I developed a place to pray in. I developed my own position that communicates surrender to God. And then I began to practice my prayer. And I remember my father, before he died, he said, "Wheat." That's what they call me. He said, "Wheat." He said, "I'm not going to be with you very long. But if you'll just take a little bit of yours and put it with a whole lot of God's, God will make a way for you. God will open doors for you that no man will be able to close." And I started riding a bicycle. And in February of this year, I got the opportunity to ride my bike from Tallahassee, Florida to New Orleans, Louisiana. We rode about 80 miles a day. Touch a neighbor, say, "Ain't God all right?" And I completed that ride. I was jubilant about my success. I got back to Ardmore, Oklahoma. And 1 month later, Lord have mercy, I was cutting the grass and my heart started beating real fast. It stayed there for about 30 minutes. Then it dropped down real low. Stayed there for about an hour. Then it shot back up to about 180 beats a minute. Stayed there for another 30 minutes. Dropped down to 40 beats a minute. Stayed there for 15 minutes. I called my wife. I said, "Baby, something ain't right here." And I told her what was going on. She said, "Baby, I need you to go to the emergency room." I said, "I'm going to be all right." She said, "No, go to the emergency room." When I went to the emergency room, the doctors began to put stuff to monitor my heart. And the doctors told me, "Say, you have an irregular heartbeat. Say, you have AFib." They said, "How long have you had this AFib?" I said, "I didn't even know that I had AFib." And the doctor said, You should have died a long time ago. I told the doctors, how can this thing be? I just got off my bike from a 480-mile bike ride. I just rode from Tallahassee, Florida, to New Orleans, Louisiana. He said, you should have died on that ride. But touch a neighbor, say, ain't the Lord all right? Ain't the Lord good? They rushed me to Oklahoma City to the heart doctor. His name was Dr. Poe. Dr. Poe is the leading heart electrocardiologist in the whole world. When I walked into the emergency room there at OU Medical Center, the lady looked at my paperwork and she said, are you Mr. Walton? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, wait a minute. I think there is a mistake. She says, I think the wrong doctor is on your paperwork. Because Dr. Poe hasn't done an electrocardiologist surgery in over 5 years. Dr. Poe, he don't operate no more. He just trained folk. I said, well, I don't know, lady. I just came and done what the doctors told me to do. When I got in that operating room, Dr. Poe came into the room. Dr. Poe said, Abraham. I said, yes, sir. He said, the Lord told me to perform your surgery. True story, y'all. He said, the Lord told me to break my schedule, to interrupt my schedule and perform your surgery. I said, I don't know. He said, it's my privilege to operate on you today. Ain't the Lord all right? Ain't the Lord good? I began to think in my spirit, before they told me I had AFib, I laid down a plan to pray. I had a place to pray. I had a position to pray in. And I practiced my prayers. Before the doctor told me I had a plan to pray, I came out of that surgery. He told me, don't ride your bike over an hour no more. Don't go no more than an hour. Before I came here, I just got off of a 35-mile bike ride by myself. My heart's beating all right. Everything is fine with me. If you want power, Holy Ghost power in your prayer life, you gotta make prayer a priority. I gotta leave y'all here tonight. I gotta go back to Ardmore, Oklahoma. But before I go, I gotta tell you one more thing. Jesus made me priority. Jesus made me priority. You know when he made me priority? One Friday evening, he got up on an old rugged cross. They nailed his hands. They nailed his feet. I wish I had just one somebody that's been saved and sanctified by the blood of Almighty God. Just one somebody that had their robes dipped in the blood of the Lamb. They nailed him in his hands, pierced him in his side, hung him on an old rugged cross, and he died. He died. He died. Laid his head in the locks of his shoulder, and he put him in a grave, and he stayed there all night Friday. Y'all know the story. All day Saturday. All night Saturday night. But early, early, one Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hands. There was a man that used to live down 301 on the east side of the highway, just about a mile outside of the town of Gaysburg. Used to pastor over at the Quonky Baptist Church. Y'all don't know who I'm talking about, do you? His name was Dr. R.H. Kidd. And Dr. R.H. Kidd, when I was a little boy, Dr. Kidd used to sing a song, "Did You Stop to Pray This Morning? Did you kneel one moment today?" He said, "The sky will be blue. He'll be walking and talking with you if you just stop." Do you know him? Say yeah. Say yeah.